we are going to consider at least a verse today. Psalm 119 and verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. I think it's interesting to note how that David turns the promise of God into a prayer. He takes the promise of the word, he says, remember the word unto thy servant. Lord, remember what you said. Remember your promises. Remember the things that you have written in your word as I pray, as I serve you, as I live for you. He turns the promise of God into a prayer. And to pray in faith, I believe, is to pray according to the word of God, according to the promises of God. And we never have to fear when our prayer requests coincide with the promises of the Word of God. You can't pray right apart from knowing God's revealed will. It's impossible. You've got to know what God says in order to know what He wants out of you and to pray accordingly. Now, it is when our pleading the promises of God that we can have the most assurance that God is going to hear and answer our prayers. Listen, there are times you're going to pray and God, who He hears everything, but prayer sometimes is not heard effectually. Because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There are times that God, in His wisdom, in His providence, He withholds His blessings. He withholds answers to prayer. He said in Isaiah 59:1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. That's a promise. When you come to God asking to give you a pure heart, confess your sins before Him. Another example of this is in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 25, where He says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. So again, you got to pray according to the will of God, according to the promises of God, and you need to come with a sincere heart, with a desire to please God as you plead, as you pray, as you seek His face. But when you've got those things in your heart, and you're going, coming before the Lord, and you're asking according to what's revealed in His Word, you can have assurance. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now you know that Those verses mess up a lot of people's prayer lives. A lot of people really, I think they look at prayer and look at God sometimes as like a genie in the bottle. When they get in trouble and when they've got something coming against him, they go and they think if they'll just rub the bottle, rub the lamp, and start praying, that God will magically fix everything in their life. And that's not how you come to God. You come to Him in humility. You come to God with a sincere desire to please Him first and foremost. What is one of the first things that Jesus taught the disciples in the model prayer? Many people call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's the model prayer. One of the first things He said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Reverence due to the name and the glory and the person of the Godhead. But you got to pray according to His will. I don't believe in this name it and claim it garbage that the charismatics are constantly pushing on people. This health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, that all you got to do, take a verse like that out of context and say, oh, you can pray for all kinds of wealth and this and that. And they got people out there that believe it. And it's nonsense. You look at the people in the Scriptures who were spiritual and whose lives were empowered by God. Oftentimes, they didn't have hardly anything. Jesus didn't have a place to lay His head. He had the clothes on His back. So wealth is no mark that you're really spiritual. Now, this idea, remember the word unto thy servant, it's the way Jacob prayed. If you'll remember, when he was about to meet up with his brother Esau. You know, Jacob, he was a supplanter. He was a conniving dude. And really, his life story is a testament to how magnificent God's grace is in spite of a person's temperament and the way that they are. God used him and changed him in spite of who he was. But Esau, you know, he felt like he had the birthright. I want to say this in Jacob's defense. Esau had his own problems. He should have never sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He should have never sold his birthright. They was acting out of the flesh. Also, Esau, it says in the Bible, that he was not only bitter, but he was a fornicator. So he's a wicked man in his own right. But Jacob knew that Esau had vowed revenge against him. And when he was about to meet him, he had fear in his heart. But he went to the Lord in prayer. And Genesis 32:9 says, And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Now notice, when he was about to face Esau, he said, Lord, I'm going to pray according to the promise you made me, that you're going to see to it that I'm going to return to the land that you gave unto my father Abraham and Isaac, and that you promised to give to me, and I pray that you'll deal well with me. And sure enough, God ironed everything out. God made a way that Esau did not exact his revenge. And what a relief it must have been when he prayed and he sought the Lord, and then he saw how God worked. Isn't it a blessing when you pray about something, you pray according to God's word, and God answers in the affirmative? What an encouragement. How it strengthens your faith. How it bolsters your prayer life. When you see God working, leading, directing, empowering. But our hope and our trust is to be fully grounded in the Word of God, in the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. So when we pray, let's learn to pray according to God's revealed will and His promises that are contained therein. Let the higher critics say what they will. The Bible is still the steadfast and sure hope of all true servants of God. David understood this. Jacob understood it. Daniel, the prophet, understood it. Isaiah understood it. The apostles understood it. God's word is our foundation. And our hope is in Him as we come to Him in prayer. And what joy should flood our souls. He said, "Remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." You know what? He's expressing the realization that in and of himself, in his own efforts and in his own abilities, he really had no hope. He had no confidence in himself. He said, "Lord, remember your word, because that's what I'm going to hope in. And I pray that you'll secure me and help me and watch over me." What joy should flood our souls when we come to God in prayer and when we come to His Word for answers and He puts hope in our hearts. Not a hope so, but real expectation of promises fulfilled. Think about this. When we need assurance, we can think of His promise in John 6:37, where Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." You come to the Lord, and I don't believe it's just a one-time thing in salvation. I believe it's every day you come to Him, He won't cast you out. You belong to Him. In times of loneliness, let's remember, let's hope in His Word, where He said in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Now the world may forsake you, your family may forsake you, but He said, "I will never forsake you." When we are longing to get out of this world and to be in the presence of our Savior, to behold His glory, to see His resplendent majesty, to look upon Him, to see Him, I long for the day when I drop this robe of flesh and go into the very presence of the Lord. We ought to remember the promise that He made. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Take comfort in that. Learn to hope in His Word. Learn to rest upon His promises. It's not presumptuous for the servant of God to call upon Jehovah to remember His promises to us. He commands us in Isaiah 62 and verse 6 not to be silent. He said, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Hope in His Word. See the value of prayer. Because God said, call unto me and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. He told us to pray without ceasing, but pray according to God's Word, according to His will, according to His promises. Pray with a sincere desire to be heard. Go to God with an earnest sense of dependence upon Him, because the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. David understood that. He said, remember the word unto thy servant and give me hope. May God bless His word.